May my words be in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The passage that I will be focusing on this morning is drawn from the concluding verses of the reading from Galatians that we have heard. Now, different gardens have featured quite prominently in Roger and my life over the last week or two. One of our pleasures when visiting another part of the country is to visit gardens, often those of National Trust properties. And we've also visited our daughter's family and stayed for a time at Paul and Jill's cottage on the Yorkshire-Cumbria border. Now, I inevitably end up buying plants whenever possible. You know I'm a passionate gardener. I also inevitably end up gardening, both at Sue's and Paul and Jill's cottage. Now, I pride myself on recognizing quite a wide range of plants, trees, shrubs, and the like. Although latterly I often confess to end up with the name on the tip of my tongue refusing to come out. Now, I think you would agree that, for example, identifying a fruit tree in an orchard is much easier if you can see the fruit. Since returning home from our time away, I've been catching up in the garden, and quite a bit of that has had to do with fruit. Before mowing the lawn, I had to clear up these. For those of you right back there, little fallen apples. It was also time to prune an over-exuberant grapevine, which was a souvenir from a Cornish National Trust property, one of the many prunings. Now, the purpose of the apple tree is to produce apples. The purpose of the vine is to produce grapes. Left completely to nature, they would bear fruit. But the orchard keeper and the cultivator of the vines know that intervention is needed to produce fruit of the highest quality. Even after the June drop, as it's called, thins out quite a lot of the enormous number of small apples, Monty Don, last Friday evening on Gardener's World, was encouraging us to reduce the fruits of an apple tree to just two on one spur to enable them both to grow to a good size. The vine, after that sudden rush of rain that we had, was going berserk, with many stems growing vigorously, each having the potential to provide huge numbers of grapes. Only by pruning back these large shoots will the remaining vine... Sorry, I felt I was getting some feedback there. Only by pruning back these long shoots will the remaining vine produce grapes of a good size with enough light to let them ripen. Just as the fruit identifies what family a plant belongs to, so the fruit of someone's life reveals to whom they belong spiritually. Last week, Sarah spoke of walking in the freedom we have in Christ. And in our passage from Galatians today, Paul talks about how we are free to be led by the Spirit into a new life. So let's turn to the latter part of the reading from Paul's letter, in which he sets out what the fruit of the Spirit is. Now, it's very significant that Paul uses the word fruit in the singular. We may not pick and choose some of the list of the 9 Christian graces which follow. We may not just pick and choose and neglect others. I'd just like to address each one of them briefly. They come in 3 sets of 3. The first 3 describe our attitude to God. The second 3, our attitude to others. And the final 3, our attitude towards ourselves. So towards God. Firstly, love. God's love for us is transforming. It is the love that sent Jesus, his Son, to die for us. And now, because the Holy Spirit is living within the believer, this love is to be shown towards other Christians and the world. We love God because he first loved us, and our love is a response to his love. By our love for one another and for the world will come to know that we belong to Christ. And then joy. This is not the same as happiness. Happiness depends upon our circumstances, where we are, what we're doing, what life has been dealing us. Joy is not dependent upon circumstances. Joy is seen when what was once lost is found. And the parable of the lost sheep speaks to this powerfully, showing the joy of the shepherd in finding his sheep which had been lost. Next, peace. Our deepest peace is to be found in the restoration of our relationship with God through the saving work of Jesus Christ. And this is best expressed as peace of mind, and in a very practical peace between all who know and love the Lord Jesus. Before we prepare to celebrate Holy Communion, we celebrate the peace of Christ that we share among us. We move on to those 3 graces towards other people. First one, patience. What are the circumstances in our lives which test our patience? Our homes, our work colleagues, other road users? As many of you are here, you will all have a different list of things which test your patience. What is described here is a Christ-like attitude which doesn't look for retaliation. Rather, it calls for us to try to live with trying circumstances and difficult relationships without trying to get even, you know, trying to fight our corner, having the last word. So it's bearing with that kind of thing. Next, kindness. Now, this is not passive, but it's an active disposition of wishing well to others. You know, children instinctively know who is kind to them. As children of God, we experience his kindness to us, and we should pass this on to others. Next, goodness. Acts 10:38 tells us that Jesus went about doing good, expecting nothing in return. And this is far away from the worldly attitude. You notice in this letter to the Galatians, Paul contrasts the works of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. And earlier in the reading, we had a whole list of the works of the flesh. Goodness is that goodness which is motivated by love. So often we can suspect, perhaps a little cynically, that benefactors sometimes are motivated by a desire for recognition and plaudits rather than a deep desire to do good. That's work of the flesh. The work of the Spirit is goodness motivated by love, which seeks to do all the good it can for all the people it can, by all means that it can. Next, we come to those three graces which are towards ourselves. Firstly, faithfulness. This is trust in God's trustworthiness. And this is not something which we have in our own strength. We can't make it or we can't keep it. It's a gift from God through His Holy Spirit. And it enables us to endure through time, holding on fast through good and bad times. Gentleness. Don't for a moment think that this is weakness. Picture Jesus as he washed his disciples' feet. And I think the chorus of the Servant King sums up gentleness in Christ beautifully. This is our God, the Servant King. He calls us now to follow him, to give our lives as a daily offering of worship to the Servant King. Finally, but not least, self-control. And this is all to do with our individual behavior. Peter is a great example of the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. He was impetuous, often speaking out first without thinking. After Pentecost, we find a man transformed, controlled in his words and actions. This was so far from the man who raised his sword in the Garden of Gethsemane. Self-control is conspicuously lacking in the description Paul gives in the first part of the reading. And it's also sadly absent in much of our world today. All these nine Christian graces constitute the fruit of the Spirit. Remember, I said that Paul used the singular fruit. We can't pick and choose between them. All are the fruit of the Spirit. So how do we ensure that the fruit of the Spirit is growing in our lives and is there to be seen by those around us? Tom Wright translates verse 25 as, "If we live by the Spirit, let's line up with the Spirit." The word Paul uses has a sense of walking in line in a disciplined way. Now, just as a natural tree requires healthy soil, the right food, careful pruning, a mixture of rain and sunshine in order to bear good fruit, The same is true of our lives. We need good nourishment from prayer, Bible reading, fellowship. We need careful pruning by God's word. We face times of trial and blessing in order that the fruit of the Spirit may be seen in our lives. I'll be concluding shortly, but I would draw your attention to that sense of nourishment through prayer. If any of you are in a place where you feel that you need to pray about something and you would feel supported in that, there are people at the back of the church who would be happy to join with you in that. So please do avail yourself of that if it's appropriate for you. Now, it's true to say that any tree or vine takes time to mature and bear fruit. So let us pray. Loving Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you that we are your children. And Father, we pray that our lives may be so saturated with Christ Jesus that the fruit of the Spirit may grow and develop in our lives to your praise and glory. Father, however we are treated by other people, we pray that your love may shine forth in us. Whatever happens in our lives, we ask that your peace and joy would abide within. No matter what difficulties we may encounter in life, teach us to be patient and kind in all our dealings with others, and manifest the goodness and grace in us that only comes from you. Lord, however hard times may become, we pray that we may be gentle and self-controlled in our actions and attitudes. And, Father, that we may be good and faithful servants. But, Lord, we thank you that no matter what happens, even when we step away from you, you remain faithful. Lord, we know that we cannot develop the fruit of your Holy Spirit through our own efforts or will, but only as we rest in Christ. Help us to abide in you, we pray. Amen.